Hello, and welcome back. It's Wednesday night, and you know what that means. That's right. It means you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. I'm Captain Quality, and this is my two cents. So I'm sure a lot of you loyal listeners out there are definitely wondering what happened to Captain Quality and his two cents last Wednesday. Well, believe it or not, Dominican University puts on a talent show type event called Soul Candy, and it's every semester, and it always falls on a Wednesday. So those of you avid Captain Quality fans who listened to Across the Field, my lacrosse-based radio show last semester, you know, the same thing happened. My show had to get bumped, and I had to redo it eventually. Like, just, it was a week off from Captain Quality. And last year, I never told my instructor this at all. I didn't really get a warning, or I felt like I didn't, because I had class that day, and, you know, the Soul Candy event was that day. So I had two guests coming on the show. We got ready outside, and he's like, oh, yeah, someone's in. And, like, my first guest was out in the hallway. I had just gotten in here. It was, 10 minutes before getting on. There's no one on before me at that time. So, and I walked in there. I see my instructor's hanging out in there. He's, like, changing clothes. And I'm like, what's up, man? He just looks at me. And he's like, oh, hey, like, do you need something? I'm like, yeah, like, it's time. I mean, my show's on right now. He goes, oh, there's Soul Candy. And then, like, as I'm talking to him, he's just changing around, just in the little studio room, just changing his clothes. It was hysterical. And I'm just, like, looking at him, like, all right, man, you could have just said, like, hey, no show. I mean, honest to God, I had no idea. My show was bummed, and I didn't have to do a show that night. So it was just fun. And I remember to this day, my guest just looking at me, like, what's going on? And my instructor's just in there, just, like, changing his clothes. He's about to go on and perform at this talent show called Soul Candy. So that was last semester. So this year, I didn't realize the date was actually last Wednesday, but I knew that the Soul Candy would be coming out, which is not a big deal. I mean, obviously, like, I can pick another day or another Wednesday to do my show. I just know that some of you loyal Captain Quality and my two cent fans were definitely disappointed, but it's all right. I'm back. And, I hope that, Rabbi Schreibman, he's probably a doctor also in something, does not hear this because, I refer to Soul Candy as a talent show, and I feel like, and I know for a fact he is not a fan of calling the Soul Candy show a talent show. He calls it the exploration of the arts. It's a talent show. I mean, for those of you who don't know what exploration of the arts, it's a talent show. I'm sure it's a good talent show. We're in college. I'm sure it's a lot of good acts, Like, the end of Step Brothers, where they're like, most karaoke bars, it's like whoever can sing up, whoever can come sing, it's all good, but no, you got to be good. And I feel like this is what, this Soul Candy was about. I hope it was. I should actually have gone and seen it, but no worries. So quick show recap about from 2 weeks ago, before my show got bumped for Soul Candy, I had my good friend and teammate Bubba on with me, and we went a little overboard with what we were talking about. It was supposed to be a little Pokemon, a little Halloween, a couple other subjects, a couple sports subjects in there. And, when me and Bubba get talking about, our dorky inside, secret obsessions, it takes over. And this whole Pokemon thing just exploded. And we kind of talked about that for almost the entire hour. So that was a lot of the old show. And just for anyone following along on that, I'll probably talk about this more next week and as the game gets closer to the release date. But a lot of the stuff me and Bubba talked about and theorized actually ended up becoming true once the new trailer came out. But we'll get back to that next week or possibly the week after once the date is closer to November 18th. So obviously today we're going to start off like we do every day, celebrity birthdays. Now, of course, if you're listening in today, November 2nd, 2016, happy birthday to you. And if you're tuning in to Captain Quality's My Two Cents, you're doing something right for your birthday. Happy birthday. I'm glad I can be blessing your birthday. Giving you a nice little gift, all gift wraps here at Penguin Radio. It was funny, as I was looking at celebrity birthdays today, I couldn't help but note, I saw, we had Nelly today, David Schwimmer, and that's a good right there, Nelly and David Schwimmer. I mean, if someone just said, hey, like your birthday show with Nelly and David Schwimmer, I'd be pretty satisfied, honestly. Two really top-notch guys. And then there's Jimmy Garoppolo and Danny Amendola, the two members of the New England Patriots, and backup quarterback and, a wide receiver. And that's really cool stuff, right? And I'm thinking, okay, that's pretty cool birthday stuff. But when you look it up, they're all listed. So, and I don't know what determines the list order, but it's like the first page is 1 through 50. And it said celebrity birthdays. So I'm looking on it, and I see just a bunch of random people say, like, Vine star. It'll say, like, Instagram star. something else stuff, some Twitter famous person or Insta, like, it's something just dumb, Snapchat famous. And I couldn't believe it. And I go down the list. I see Roddy White, you know, the former receiver for the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, he might still be there, but yeah, Roddy White, anyway, receiver for the Atlanta Falcons. Big time football player. No, I mean, he's 35, I think, today. So he's up there in age. But he was like number 35, something crazy low, and behind all of these just no name people. I hope they're not ranking it on like popularity. Like, I don't know what they're basing that like number off of. Like, he's 35, like, he's a professional athlete. I'm sure he has more name recognition than 60% of the people I went down, because I did not know who this YouTube star was. You know, I mean, this just random names that I guarantee don't carry as much weight as, you know, Roddy White. And then I saw one that was, it was Adam Sandler's daughter. It was celebrity, and I said family member. Like, that's why they're famous. Like, you know, like Nelly would say like rapper, or swimmer would say actor, and this one said family member. So it's like you're a family member to someone who's famous. You know, it was Adam Sandler's daughter. She was like, she's like four or something. It was just ridiculous, and that's what qualified a celebrity. You know, I've got a few names here. I mean, three of them are athletes, but still. And I was looking at it, and I couldn't believe them. I hope they don't base it off popularity, because Roddy White definitely deserves, you know, a bigger piece in that popularity factor, just because he's definitely a more popular guy. But getting back to it, so yeah, right now I've got Nelly, David Schwimmer, Jimmy Garoppolo, Danny Amendola, and of course Roddy White, along with a plethora of Vine YouTube stars, which probably don't need to be named. So happy birthday to anyone. That's November 2nd. Hopefully you're tuning in. Really good time to tune in right now. Listen to Captain Quality's My Two Cents. And now we're going to go on to the good stuff. I found a rather lengthy article tonight, and honestly, it's a good one to talk about. And I, you know, tonight's one of the first nights, I think, all semester where I've been, you know, kind of the lone wolf here in the studio. And honestly, I can manage it. Honestly, it's just the kind of person I am. So I wish I would definitely would have loved to have, you know, a guest on or partner to talk about this topic, because it'd be a good one to go in with in deep length. And it's male birth control. And it's been trending on Facebook and other big news sites, and just not even news sites, just famous social media sites for the last couple of days now. And I've been seeing it, and I said, this would be big for the show. I hope it's still trending by Wednesday. And of course, it's still one of the top trending, you know, articles people are looking at right now on, you know, Facebook news. And I even saw a huge article on it on CNN. So you have male birth control tonight. You got the iPhone 8. That's right. Not the iPhone 7 that came out less than 2 months ago. The iPhone 8. Already articles, you know, twisting and turning about that. And I'll probably do some World Series recap by the time I get to it. The last time I checked, the game was in the bottom of the sixth. That was kind of a while ago. So definitely, you know, World Series tonight, Game 7, Cubs, Indians, huge deal for both teams, obviously. I read somewhere it's the first time in a combined 176 years that these two teams are here. And so they've been waiting. They've each been waiting, you know, their separate but lengthy times, you know, years to be here. And of course, I mean, me personally, I'm excited to just talk about that. Not a huge baseball guy, of course, but I definitely had my own little, you know, who I wanted to win, obviously. You got to pick some sort of side. Next in the sports, we have Ray Allen retirement. For those of you who don't know Ray Allen, former shooting guard for the Bucks, Sonics, Celtics, Miami Heat, star, definitely going to be a Hall of First Ballot Hall of Famer shooting guard. Him holds the NBA record for three-pointers made. And I'll get back, if we're an NBA champion, I'll get back to him later. Great career. And then tonight, should, you know, stuff just not fall into place and I just speed through everything, is the Clippers versus Thunder, you know, basketball game. It's actually going on right now. And, I mean, they've each only played three games, but as of right now, they're the two last undefeated teams in the Western Conference. Even this, like, the Spurs lost lost like a couple of nights ago, and I think it was to the Utah Jazz, and I hope it wasn't, but I'm almost positive it was. Like, Spurs have a loss after they, you know, slaughtered the Warriors, who of course have that first loss. It was a 129-100 game, something crazy like that. Spurs just had their way with the Golden State Warriors and their quote unquote super team. So right now, Clippers Thunder, both 3-3, are the two only undefeated teams left in the West, and they're playing each other right now. And I'm definitely, you know, once I get to that, I'll definitely be, you know, giving some updates on that and just talking some basketball, because it's, you know, it's what I love to do. Basketball is definitely one of my higher, you know, topics of conversation. Huge fan. But now we're here. Let's get into it. Male birth control. And I see this and I'm just thinking to myself, it's an interesting topic. And I've never really You know, I've never really thought about it. I mean, I've always found myself to be, you know, a very creative guy and always thinking of good ideas. And male birth control just never really wanted. I never really thought to myself, hey, like, let's, you know, male birth control be cool, man. Let's get that. Let's give that a shot. But that's why I'm not a scientist. So anyway, male birth control shot. It's a shot, not so much a pill. It's found effective. So that was like that was the main part of the article, the first part. They show you that little segment where it says, hey, male birth control shot's effective, like it's working, like, you know, it's tested, they've tested it, they've done, you know, gotten subjects to use it on, and it works. It gets the job done. Of course, it's not perfect. I'm pretty sure, like, pill birth control is not perfect either. But anyway, so they found effective, and there's a whole bunch of stuff to talk about how effective it is. Then there's, like, it's not even a sub-article, it's, like, part of the original headline. But it's like separated, so like it's like here's the main article which catches your eye. Oh, guess what? Plot twist. This is an even bigger deal, despite how big of a deal male birth control working is. And it says due to side effects, the study is cut short. And meaning that the test subjects of male birth control, they pulled out of being test subjects because of the side effects they're undergoing, which is interesting. And once I go through the side effects, I mean, I'm sure it was actually enraging a lot of women. That men couldn't handle test subjects couldn't handle the side effects, saying like Michelle Wolf actually came on a show, I think it was Trevor Noah's show, and it was, of course it's a funny show, so it's a little comedic, but she was going on there just tearing men a new one about how, you know, we're pansies and how we can't handle the side effects and how women go through the side effects all the time. But anyway, before I get to that. So the male birth control shot, it's effective. So Seth Cohen, who's a urologist over at NYU, very prestigious. And so they've been doing these tests on these men. I believe there's 274 men that they've been testing this new shot birth control. And by shot, I mean, I don't mean like shot, glass shot, like you pour it down your throat. I believe it's a shot you inject, like steroids. They didn't specify where the shot goes, in fact. I mean, I'm hoping it's not like a genital type shot. That'd be kind of brutal. That's definitely worse than taking a pill. So I'm assuming that the shot part is not even the worst part. Anyway, so it's a shot of testosterone. And because of like the different hormones and chemicals that are in this shot, the brain assumes that the body is getting enough testosterone because of the synthetic that you're injecting into yourself. So the body obviously shuts down and stops producing its own testosterone, which is what it's naturally, you know, a male body is supposed to do. It produces testosterone, yada, 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 you know, biology 101. So the body stops its own production of testosterone and, you know, quote unquote, to get a little technobiological here, the testicles production of testosterone as well as the testicles production of sperm, it's decreased. You know, it stops. That's how the birth control factor happens. And they do these tests, they do a bunch of them, and 96% of the sperm count was lowered in the test subjects, which is a huge deal because, you know, the reason some men can't have children is because their sperm count's too low. So this is a shot that's actually making sure your sperm count's low. Thus, this is what's, you know, the birth control. This is what's controlling, you know, having too much, like not having the sperm count's being lowered, so thus reducing, you know, risk of an unplanned pregnancy. So I see that, I see these, okay, these are really cool, this is working. That's a big deal because I know that there's a lot of controversy with, you know, the pill and how it causes some, you know, greater medical problems, and some people believe that it can cause, you know, birth defects in children. So I'm reading this part of the article, I'm saying to myself, well, I mean, would I personally be a candidate for male birth control? I don't know, probably not, honestly, and I'll get back to that in a minute. But anyway, I see this article, I'm reading it, and I'm thinking to myself, this is really, you know, interesting, I'm enjoying what I'm reading, you know, what's the issue here, and if these men want to do, if it's safe and men want to do it, I can't see, you know, that this obviously there's still more tests to be done, they can't just say, hey, we've done the test this many times, it's perfect, it's safe to, you know, get out there on the open, so that's why the big deal was that the tests are being cut short. But before I go on to the test being cut short, there's a statistic, and they have 274 participants in the study. And of those 274, there was only 4 pregnancies, which is, I mean, that's a huge deal. And when you look at that, you know, you have 274 people on this new, men, I should say, on this, you know, male shot birth control, lowers your sperm count. taking it. So that's, I mean, I'm trying to do the math actually right now. So I get 274. Or did you actually know 270? I should apologize. 270 divided by 274. And that equals, it's 98%. So you got 90, I mean, it says 98.6% of sperm count was lowered. So according to that, right there though, 98% of the participants got pregnant. They impregnated their partner. So there's 4 pregnancies and 3 births. And of the 3 births, all the children came out normal, which of course can be what people would call, you know, a fluke, because it's only 3. Obviously, when in a mass production of birth control, it's much more than 274 participants. But, you know, 4 pregnancies, 3 births, and all the children came out normal. And by normal, I mean, that's up to interpretation. But I mean, like, no, you know, noticeable birth defects like one would associate sometimes when taking it with the pill or other forms of birth control, medical birth control, synthetics. And I think it's that right there, that statistic there, to me is a big deal, just because, okay, you're taking this, you know, this new male birth control, lowers your sperm count, but say for you, the sperm count goes back to normal, obviously, you take this shot, but it's once every 8 weeks, so it's not like I think the women take the pill like every day. Don't quote me on that, I'm pretty sure it's almost an everyday thing for them. But that's just them being safe. So men can take this shot like once every 8 weeks, and if they're set, I mean, that's a huge deal. But so anyways, that was the first part of the article, and I'm looking at it saying to myself, okay, this is really neat. I'm like, men can, you know, have sex. Like, obviously we could, but now we could reduce the risk of your childbirth. You know, we had the birth control now, so we don't have to rely. How many times definitely some of my colleagues, you know, it gets to that point where, you're going to have sex. It's like, you know, Saturday night, what have you. And you definitely don't want to wear a condom. Like, just put it out there. You don't want to. It's not fun for really anyone, unless you like think the girl is sus and might have something. But in that case, just bail. But anyway, aside from that, that's a whole other realm. I've been doing an STD PSA. So that's where the mind is right now. But anyway, so obviously the condom, no fun for anyone. And but like the men, this sucks for the women, because I know for a fact that men have always been like, hey, like, are you on the pill, blah blah blah, like, are you like it's on the women to make sure that they don't get pregnant, almost like the men, like, it's like, and I'm guilty of this too, obviously. It's like we always ask, like, yeah, you're on birth control, blah blah blah, so like I can be carefree, you know, I have no risk at all. Like, it's like a men thing. And again, that's, I mean, it definitely sucks for women, and I'm definitely, you know, definitely guilty of it, like most, I'm sure most men are. And you're putting all this responsibility on the women, and it's selfish, to say the least. Again, super guilty of it, definitely selfish on my part as well, but it sucks. But now it's like, okay, we don't have to have that problem anymore because of the shot. You know, we can be in control of it, we don't have to worry about it. Like, who cares if they're on the pill or not, because we, you know, we are on some, our own form of this birth control, which, I mean, again, I'm sure saying it doesn't sound as like fun to say. You're not going to go out and brag about it, of course, but it's like, you can have sex with, I mean, obviously the only risk left is, you know, STD. But if you know the girl's clean, I mean, it's a win-win for you. You're not going to get her pregnant, most likely, you know, so regardless of whether or not she's on the pill. So it's kind of it's a big deal. And I feel like, you know, what could go wrong? So then I'm reading along, second part of the article pops up. And side effects, cut the study short. And this is when I saw this video of, you know, Michelle Wolf coming on the Trevor Noah show. And she's talking, she's just bashing on men. Like, you guys are I'm using the word pansies. That's like a clean word. I don't want to say what she said in the air. But yeah, she's like bashing on guys. You know, you guys, this is crazy. What are you doing? This is, you know, pansy, you know, stuff. You guys, this is crazy. Like, why are you acting like this? You're supposed to be men, like, tough. You guys, this is what we go through all the time. And the side effects that were reported were mood swings, acne, mild depression was in there. I don't know, like, how severe the depression was. I can't imagine it was that severe. Otherwise, this whole male birth control thing would be out the window. And then the fourth one, which, you know, caught my eye a lot, was higher sex drive. And like, they're lowering the testosterone amount, but yet a side effect of this male birth control is higher sex drive. So I see 4 side effects, and I mean, I can watch TV and see a commercial for some random, like, medicine, and the side effects will go be, I mean, the guy talking extremely fast about side effects, will go on for about, you know, 45 seconds talking that fast about various side effects, and they're all not fun sounding side effects. So Michelle Wolf comes on, and she hears these side effects, and she says, you know, women, and again, I'm, you know, being, you know, very blunt here, I'm speaking, this is what she said. She said, women on their periods, like, this is nothing compared to what women go through on, like, when they're on their period. Like, men should be, you know, should tough it out, because women go through this on a monthly basis. And this is Michelle Wolf saying this, and she's, you know, she's being funny about it, obviously. She's a funny person. Really, she is on this, you know, this segment on Trevor Noah's show. So, you know, she's saying, like, men got to step it up, because, like, obviously, like, women, she said, like, these four, not even the four, just the first three, honestly, symptoms or side effects, as they're called with a male birth control, to her, would be like a fairy tale period. Like, it's, oh, like, it's a breeze for her because the period's so much worse and women go through so much worse on a daily basis, or monthly basis, I should say. And, you know, I hear that, and there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. Obviously, I can't vouch for what the side effects of birth control, like the pill, are, because I obviously don't take it. But the whole women in the period thing, that's like, regardless of us taking birth control or not, like, I feel like, you know, to an extent, like, that's going to happen regardless. Now, obviously, she definitely has a point saying, like, oh, women go through this, like, why can't men go through this? And, you know, I get that. You know, it's a fair argument to make, you know, especially because men are the ones, you know, hey, women, you're on the pill, like, let's do this, like, blah, blah, blah. You know, we're putting it all on the women. And she said, like, what's the problem here with men? Like, man, like, you guys should be almost excited. You might as well call this shot, like, the more sex, less baby shot, because of the higher sex drive, and, I mean, the less chances of having a kid. And she's not wrong. I mean, it's pretty much, it's what it is, you know. It is like a shot that says, hey, you can have as much, you can have way more sex, and without, like, the risk of, you know, having a kid. Like, the risk of a kid is super, super low. And of course, I mean, you got 98% chance you're not going to have a kid, pretty much, based off that study. And should you be part of that, like, 2.5% that got your partner pregnant, your kid's probably, I mean, he's gonna be fine. It's not going to affect the children's birth, most likely. You know, of the three births, all three children came out without any defects at all, and nothing at all. They're just completely healthy, normal children, normal babies. And so, I mean, I kind of see where Michelle Wolf is going with that, because you see something like that, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, like, that's, you know, it's a big deal. And they're not, again, the side effects that they listed aren't drastic at all. I mean, I'm not one to want to deal with any form of depression at all. Acne is never fun. Hopefully, I mean, I didn't say severe acne. Then mood swings. I guess it would have to be like, how long do these symptoms last for? Because if it's like they last the whole 8 weeks, then you get another shot. Then you're just a prisoner to these mood swings. But obviously, if you're, you know, if it's like a temporary, I'm sure it is not. It's not like you last all 8 weeks. That'd be crazy. Because then it would just be like some sort of just crazy, ridiculous drug you're taking and just destroying your body. But you take this, and you have these symptoms, and I'm just assuming they're not going to last for a while. And I've got a lot of female friends. I know that females do go through quite a lot with their bodies and what they do. So, and in terms of these test subjects pulling out, I guess, like, and again, I can't speak on behalf of them because I'm not myself a test subject for male birth control. And I don't really know if I would... I don't know if it's a volunteer. I hope it's not a volunteer thing. I would assume it's some sort of, you know, compensation to do it. Depending on how much money they got for it, I would definitely do it. That would be a factor. But of course, right now I'm not a test subject for this male birth control. But I mean, they say it's safe. The tests prove it's safe. Side effects aren't like terrible at all. And the higher sex drive thing, it's like, you know, if women are cool with that, you know. The higher sex drive, that's like, I mean, if that's cool, they're like, oh, hey, guys have higher sex drive if they're on birth control. It's like, but hey, they're on birth control, so it's safe. If they're cool with that and that inclines them to have more sex with us, I'm not against that at all. I'm sure, like, fellow men aren't against that either. I can't imagine that they would be. But, yeah, I mean, Michelle Wolf said it all. It's essentially, might as well call it the more sex, less baby shot. It's, you know, it's pretty much true, and I agree with her on that. I think it's funny that she brought that up, quite frankly. She's a funny, I mean, of course, she's a funny person, funny way of saying it, and it's true. So this, yeah, male birth control shot, it's effective, but side effects cut studies short. Now, I'm hoping that, like, in recent days, and, like, in a few more days or so, that we can, I hope another article pops up about this that I could possibly talk about, you know, next week on my show, would be like, hey, studies back on, you know, like, or just so it goes somewhere, because, like, right now it's almost like a cliffhanger, like, okay, so the study's cut short, but like now what? Like, are they just going to toss out the study? Like, okay, men won't do it anymore. There's no point of continuing it. Or are they just going to say, hey, no, like screw that. Like, we've been working hard on this. It's gonna be good. We're going to perfect it almost, like, the safest point possible. It's safe right now. It's looking good. And, you know, these men are all right. There are nothing bad happening to them. The children are coming out completely normal, like, no health defects at all. Completely healthy babies. And are we gonna pound down on these test subjects and say, hey, like, any real test subjects want to come down, here's what we're doing. It could change. It's a game changer. It really is. You know, there's this male birth control factor. And I'm anxious to see how that turns out, just because, yeah, again, I would love to talk about it more on my show next week with a guest and just say, hey, like, you know, it was male birth control. Like, what do you think of that? And yeah, it's just, I'm anxious. I'm looking at that. I like it. And obviously, I'm nowhere near NYU. And of course, I can talk about this all I want because I myself am not a subject. And I know that adds, you know, a little bit of, like, I'm not as, I mean, not as credible as an actual subject because, like, I can't speak on behalf of them. So, again, I know it's not 1,000% fair for me to say, hey, like, subjects, like, let's get it together. You guys got to tough it out because I don't know, obviously, what it's like to take this shot and be on this male birth control. And I know but, if it really isn't that bad, and I guess, like, other subjects have to come forward and say, like, hey, like, you know, it really wasn't that bad. We pulled out of the test, of the study, but, you know, it's really not that bad, not as bad as you would think. Because I'm sure it started with a few subjects and just kind of grew and grew and grew. I'm sure there's, like, a pride and, like, a hubris factor to it. It's like, oh, like, we're men, like, we shouldn't be on birth control, like, blah, 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 like, why, that's not fair to us at all. And, you know, it just goes back to, you know, what's safer. If this proven to be a former, not former, if this proves to be a safer version of birth control, safer than the pill for women. And, I mean, and women are going to say, hey, like, it's, like, men are on this new pill, not pill, I'm sorry, new birth control. It's a shot. It's safer, you know, it makes it so we don't have to take the pill anymore. So it kind of puts it on us now to make sure that we're in charge of the birth control. But, hey, like, you got to realize men might have some side effects like mood swings, acting depression, and higher sex drive. And if they're cool with all that, you know, focusing on the higher sex drive part, that's cool in my book. I feel like it's going to be cool in a lot of other guys' books, too. Like, we don't have to worry about, like, I mean, I know I can't count the number of times I've been with my buddies, and we've talked about just, like, how, like, not fun it is to use condoms. It's not. And, I mean, it's definitely there's times you have to do it, obviously. And there's times you definitely don't do it. And I think every guy I know, myself included, we've all had that one, and I hope it's just one. I know for other guys it's more, like, pregnancy scare. Where you're just thinking to yourself, like, oh, like you get the call from the girl, and she says, hey, like, you know, it's late this month. Like, you need to do something. And I've had that scare myself, and just like many other guys have. So it's now it's on us now. This birth control, you know, it becomes more progressive and better. To say, hey, like, you know, we're the ones on birth control now, so, you know, we're playing it safe. It's taking less of the responsibility from the women and just putting it more on ourselves, all this responsibility. I think it's just a step in the right direction for, like, you know, for women and men, just for society as a whole. If, of course, it's proven to be safer and, like, with less, it doesn't, like, you know, screw up your sperm. Like, should you want to have a kid, obviously, it's not going to say, oh, yeah, you've been taking birth control too long, your sperm count's all screwed up, like, sorry, you can't have a kid ever. Like, that would be, like, tragic. That'd be awful for someone who just, like, you know, say, like, a 20-year-old who wants to take birth control. And then, like, you know, he's 30, and he's got a wife, and he wants to have a kid. And it's like, oh, yeah, you've been taking birth control for too long. Like, all these shots just destroyed your sperm counts. You're pretty much just done. Which, of course, if that's the case, I'm sure that's what they have to test on, I guess. And it's just hard. You got to wait down. You got to look down the line and see, hey, like, where's this going to go? And of course, if that is the case, then I can't imagine this birth control going anywhere. But I know that there's been skepticism to as to whether or not, you know, women's birth control causes, you know, some sort of birth defects. And of course, it doesn't. I'm sure it's not a frequent thing, because if it was, no one would be taking birth control. I feel like, just because of it, I mean, why risk having an unhealthy child, bringing an unhealthy child into the world who's, you know, prone to this sickness? Or, like, you know, I've seen some birth defects where it's like, yeah, this kid's not going to live for another, like, he's only going to live for 2 years, blah, blah, blah. It's like a birth defect. And of course, those aren't always, you know, tied into birth control, but still, it's like, So why have that risk almost? Why have that risk there of a birth defect? It's just, it's not fair to anyone really. So, I mean, male birth control, it sounds good on paper. Statistically, it's looking good. I personally hope this study can kind of just progress, and I like to see where it goes and if they start doing it. If it becomes a thing, I'm sure it's not going to be like, you know, hey, like next month, male birth control comes out to the public. Like, no, of course not. It's going to be a timely process, but it's definitely one that I, you know, I hope to see, and I hope that next, like, of course, I know I can't be too pushy at all, but I hope there's some sort of news and to some sort of progress with the study and how members and the members of the study can come back and just say, hey, you know, let's give another shot. We can deal with these side effects, or if maybe scientists could just dumb down the side effects just a little bit. I know it's hard. It's science. Like, there's always side effects, but I'm hoping I get some more information on this article. So we're going to take a quick break here on my two cents, a quick little fiver, toss you guys some music your way. Really stoked you guys are listening right now. You're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. You guys are awesome. Again, happy birthday to anyone on November 2nd birthday. If you want any shout-outs or want to hear a topic talked about, tweet to @CaptainQuality6 on Twitter. For any shout-outs or news topics you want to hear on the air for the next hour, I will be here until 9, every Wednesday, 8 to 9. Don't go anywhere, a quick break, and just see you in a bit.
This talk, nothing left to do but fall in each other's arms. I could have said I love you, could have wrote you a line or two. Baby, all I know to do is speak right from the heart. You'll be my song.
I'll be your friend.
Hello, and welcome back. It's Wednesday night, and you know what that means. That's right. It means you're listening to Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. I'm Captain Quality, and this is my two cents. Hope you enjoyed our quick little break and some Blake Shelton, Honeybee. Very good song. It came out back in 2011. Big fan, and hopefully those of you who are country fans enjoyed it as well. And those of you who aren't, hopefully you got a taste of some Blake Shelton and just enjoyed the music. Really good guy. He was on The Voice. He wins it a lot. Super dope. So I was actually during the break, and I'm listening to the music, and I say to myself, you know, let's go on ESPN really quick and just check on these scores of we mentioned earlier this World Series game, and of course my Clippers game. My Clippers game not looking too good. We're down by 8 at the half, shooting atrociously. Blake Griffin had 2 fouls in the first quarter, just not looking good. We'll bounce back though. OKC doesn't, they don't have what it takes to beat us. But that's not what's important right now. As much as I would love to think so, what's important right now is that the World Series game is in the middle of the ninth inning, and it's tied up at 6-6. Now, I remember earlier at dinner time, I was listening to the game with some teammates. Anyway, it was 4-1 Chicago. Chicago was taking the lead. They're in control of the game most of the time. And I think earlier it was like 5-2, and I looked in earlier, maybe it was 6-2. You know, Chicago was leading. And here it is. Davis for the Indians actually hits a home run in the eighth and ties the game. And he ties game 7-up, and that's baseball. That's what baseball should be. You know, again, baseball gets a bad rap. People say it's boring. I'm definitely one of those people for sure. Because I was a big baseball kid growing up. I loved playing it. It was my best sport, actually, prior to, you know, playing lacrosse. And I was a big Yankees guy. You know, people used to call me Little Giambi. He's my favorite player, and I was a big kid. I was a power hitter. But anyway, so baseball, you know, here it is. And then World Series comes up. And, you know, I've been following along with who wins the World Series, but it's not like I've been tuning in, like, you know, promoting it, all, so to speak, and saying, hey, like, World Series is coming out. Like, let's check this out. It's a big deal. And here it is, like, Chicago and Cleveland. For decades, people have made fun of shit. The Chicago, you know, Cubs have just been, like, the sweat bucket of, you know, MLB. You know, they're never going to the World Series. When are they going to win one? I remember on TV shows, even on, like, what was that movie? Back to the Future, they make a joke about it. Like, oh, Chicago Cubs win the World Series against, you know, Miami. And, like, the joke is that, like, he's like, oh, yeah, who thought, like, Chicago would win a World Series? And, like, he's more surprised that Miami's a team at all. When, in fact, like, the joke is that, hey, Chicago actually won. And I think that, like, was set in, like, 2015, almost. Like, that, they're pretty sure they think that future, when the movie was being made, they said, hey, like, make that year 2015. I'm not positive. You know, I've only seen the movie a couple times. But I'm pretty sure it was around this time period. You know, I think it was 2015. Anyway, so that's cool. The Chicago Cubs, you know, again, like, they've been this just joke almost, a laughing matter in Major League Baseball. You know, of course, you know, now here they are, like, you know, one run away from winning the World Series in Game 7. And if I'm not mistaken, you know, my baseball integrity is not high at all. I'm not a huge baseball fan, but I believe that Chicago was down 3-1 in the series, which, of course, you know, huge deal. Being down 3-1, all the other team has to do is win a game. And, you know, it's over. So Cleveland, of course, I'm sure they were up 3-1. You know, the Cleveland fans, they're coming back from this big victory, you know, in basketball, with the Cavaliers being the Warriors, who, again, the Warriors were up 3-1. Cavs came back and won the series. And I actually saw a funny meme today. And it's from that, it's a picture of Jordan, one of the Key and Peele guys, a bigger one. I think it's Peele. I don't know which one's which, but they're hysterical. The Key and Peele guy is the heavier set one, and it's that one from that one skit where he's sweating really bad because the wife found him watching, you know, internet porn. And it's a really funny skit, but so it's a little screenshot of him sweating, and it says, when Cleveland Indian fans remember that making fun of the Warriors for blowing a 3-1 lead, And it, I thought that was hysterical just because I'm sure a lot of Cleveland Indian fans are also Cleveland Cavaliers fans, and definitely poked fun at, you know, the Warriors for blowing that 3-1 lead in the NBA Finals. And of course, the Cleveland Indians, I mean, the Chicago Cubs, you know, it's not like the Giants. If it was the Giants, that'd be hysterical just because of the whole San Francisco, you know, thing. Of course, San Francisco Giants, you know, Golden State Warriors, it would just kind of make sense, you know, Cavs and that. But they still, it's funny, though. The meme was funny, regardless, because it was Cleveland, and they definitely were poking fun at the, Warriors for blowing a 3-1 lead. And here's Cleveland, definitely probably on their high horse with the 3-1 lead, and they're in the midst of blowing it. Of course, I mean, they were. Then tonight was like, if they lose tonight, like, they blew a 3-1 lead in the World Series, and it's over, and Chicago, you know, wins the World Series. It's plain and simple. So right now, it's actually the bottom of the ninth. Right now, it's baffling. I mean, I think Cleveland is up to bat almost, I believe. Cleveland is batting right now. And Chicago's, of course, they've got that dude, that pitcher Chapman, who they acquired this summer. Again, stuff I don't know. Again, not a huge baseball guy. I don't follow up with it a lot. But I remember this summer watching SportsCenter with my roommate. They got this guy's pitcher. I can't pronounce his first name. His last name is Chapman. And this dude just throws heat. He got up the Yankees, I think. And I knew the Cubs were playing well. And they got this closing pitcher who was just bonkers, off the wall, good. And I believe he's pitching right now, which, of course, why would you have this guy pitch? He's a freak of nature. I've watched him play. And he's this closing pitcher for the Cubs. And right now it's tied up 6-6, and I'm looking at this right now. You know, Chicago's got like three errors. The stats are almost equal. Six runs and 10 hits. The only thing that's different is that the Cubs have two more errors than the Indians. But other than that, these stats, I mean, 6-10 both sides. With these, with obviously the runs are the same, but the hits are exactly the same as well. And if I'm doing my math correctly, yeah, at one point, you know, the Indians were down 3-6 to the Cubs. You know, if it wasn't until the eighth inning where they scored three runs. So it's a big deal. So that's what got them back in it, that eighth inning. Otherwise, right now, you know, it would have to be like, hey, we're down three. Like, it would just be a hold of the ball game as opposed to, hey, it's until we tied it back up. We're hitting. It's bottom of the ninth, you know. And I feel that there's a lot of stress goes off. I feel like the hitting team, just because, you know, worst scenario, it goes into extra inning, it goes into the tenth inning or what have you. And the pressure right now is definitely on the Chicago Cubs, you know, defense, so to speak, in baseball. I'm sure the fielding is referred to as the defense, or that's what I'm going to call it at least. So, yeah, it's on the Chicago Cubs defense to make sure that they don't give up any runs right now. And the pressure is, on them, because, I mean, again, the Indians can be like, of course, I mean, they have to go out and, you know, field next. But I feel like not as much pressure's on them. It's not like they're down a run and they don't score a run here, it's over. I mean, because they can not score a run here and still have another shot, you know. And Chicago gives up a run here, it's over for them. You know, all this comeback talk and this, you know, this big deal. It's and I've got buddies from Chicago, my teammate Tony Beaupre, lacrosse team, big Chicago native. He's a Mr. Ride or Die on this game. One of my bosses, Mike Wolf, again, Chicago native, Ride or Die on this game. He's been following the Cubs. It's all season long, obviously, and now it's a big deal. And all we've got a lot of Chicago natives, actually, that we know out here. And they're just, it's a big deal for Chicago itself. And just for anyone who's a sports fan knows that this is one of the bigger World Series games. You know, it's been a great series. And this game itself is going to be, it's a very popular game. And it's got me, who's not even a baseball guy, who could care less usually, you know, 90% of the time about baseball. And you've got me talking about it on my show. You know, and it's a big deal to me, you know, to anyone right now. It's just, I see guys on, people on Facebook talking about, hey, like, World Series, you know, Game 7. It's like, you're not even a sports fan usually, but yet you still talk about this game because of what it entails. You know, it's the Chicago Cubs, you know, I mean, it's TV shows, movies, I mean, cartoons. There's always references to the Cubs and how bad they are. And I remember actually, speaking of that, a cartoon that made fun of them was The Fairly Odd Parents. Like, I remember watching this, had to be at least 10 years ago, at least. And I'm watching this episode, and, like, the head fairy comes down. He's making jokes about, you know, like, when pigs fly, or, like, when, like, I don't think he doesn't say hell, but he says, like, something for hell, like, freezes over. And then he says, when the Chicago Cubs win the World Series, as if it's never going to happen. So in terms of stuff that's, like, never going to happen, And again, that's just an example of like how the Chicago Cubs are always just like poo-pooed on and just say like that's the joke. Cubs aren't going to win any games ever because they stink. They're terrible and they're just not any games. They're not going to make it the World Series. They're just always bad. They're just always never going to get there. It's a slap in the face, and they're never going to win a World Series. And it's been years. And I remember people will always post these memes or stuff on Twitter and say the last time the Cubs won the World Series, like, you know, there was 85 elements on the periodic table, or there was 16 MLB teams in the MLB, or it was just these funny statistics because it was so long ago. I want to say it was 1945. I'm actually going to check it out right now. Because I mean, regardless of how long ago it was, I know it was it was many, many, many decades ago. And it's a big deal to see what the world was like back then. Yeah, it was 1945, and they lost. They don't even won it. It's right here, the 1908 World Series is significant for being the most recent World Series championship the Cubs have won. So that's 1908 was the last one they won. All right, so that's over 100 years. And people I know talked about that whole Bambino curse of the Red Sox that they broke back in 04. He says, so that's the most recent championship for the Cubs, and the team would go on to appear in 7 World Series in 1910, 1918, 1929, 1932, 35, 38, and 1945, losing each time. That to me is, and so that they went to the World Series that many times and lost each time, and the most recent one's 1945. So yeah, so long ago. Are you kidding me? 1945? And then 1908's the last time they won one. And I believe there's something here actually for the Cubs. The Red Sox had their Bambino curse. Because when I typed in last time Cubs won the World Series, this thing on Wikipedia pops up called the Curse of the Billy Goat. And according to this, the Curse of the Billy Goat is the name of a sports-related curse that was supposedly placed on the Chicago Cubs Major League Baseball franchise in 1945 by Billy Goat Tavern owner William Sanus. Because the odor of his pet goat, Murphy, was bothered other fans, Sanus was asked to leave Wrigley Field. No way. So this guy would bring a goat. Oh my god, he'd bring a goat to Wrigley Field. And during the game in 1995 World Series, that's when he was asked to leave. So he declared that them Cubs, they ain't going to win no more. And they would never win a National League pennant or a World Series. So they won the National League pennant, obviously, this year. So this is actually their own little curse. Yeah, they're trying to break their Billy Goat curse. That's hysterical. Because this dude owned a tavern called the Billy Goat, and he brought a goat to the games. That's super funny. And I can't imagine a guy bringing a goat to the games now, but that's funny to me. Like, that's something that you want to talk about. And I don't understand how I'm just hearing about this now. Like, I mean, everyone knows the Bambino curse, you know, with the Red Sox. And, of course, it's a bigger deal, I guess. You know, Babe Ruth, one of the best baseball players ever. But still, like, I mean, Chicago, of course, being this, I mean, joke around, like the media and just like everything. Chicago Cubs were a joke. People made fun of them. 1908 was the last time they won one. That's just crazy. Again, like, MLB's been around for so long. Chicago Cubs franchise has been around, I mean, longer than the NBA. Yeah, again, there's no NBA back when they won the last World Series. I don't even think in 1945 there was the NBA. There wasn't Super Bowls or anything. You know, there was just baseball. That's why it's America's pastime. And right now, you know, looking at this, and the last time that Chicago won this World Series, 1908, last time they appeared was 1945, after losing those other 7. And so I think, yeah, I see why the big deal. It's a huge deal for Chicago. And if they win this, again, first time in 116 years, 118 years, they win the World Series. So that'd be almost a huge deal. I'm checking that out. And my buddy, actually, Harrison, has sent me a Snapchat. And he's watching, he's at work right now. He's watching the game on an iPad, and his coworkers are making bets. And I love how they're making bets now when it's tied 6-6. So, I mean, when just with your buddies, you can make bets whenever. Because, I mean, it's tied 6-6, and no one's winning. So you can make that bet and say, hey, like, hey, I want this is going to happen. So he just sent me a Snapchat. He says, when you're at work and again watching Game 7, your coworkers start making bets. And I think it's hysterical because he actually twisted his camera over and, literally, I just got this right now. This is actually a live Snapchat I just received. And it's literally just his coworkers. They're tossing money into a pile. Like, so someone's about to win that money based on who they're betting on. And I think that's funny. At my job, my coworkers, we bet on stuff. That'd be hysterical. But regardless, you know, so right now it's still 6-6. And I don't know. I hope my computer's updating. I'd sound like a fool if something big happened and I just wasn't reporting it at all. Oh, it's been delayed. Okay, really? I'm assuming it's some sort of weather delay, but no, we're that's add suspense, really. That's like when the Super Bowl and the blackout happened with the Harbaugh brothers coaching each other. No matter. So we would jump from that. So right now we got the delayed Cubs-Indians game. And my own bias is probably I want the Indians to win. And it's not because I have anything against the Cubs and their curse. Of course, I'm hearing about this curse. I want the Cubs to break it. I feel bad for them. But the only reason I choose the Indians is because back when I was a junior in high school, and again, born and raised in L.A., and I'm never a huge Dodgers guy, never a huge baseball guy. Of course, if the Dodgers were in the World Series now, I'd definitely just be bandwagoning and cheering for them just because of the L.A. nativeness that's who I am. I'm from L.A. But I would say back in my junior year of high school, I remember they were doing this thing, and, like, people were saying, like, oh, Cleveland Indians is racist, blah, 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 blah. Like, and they were doing this, like, this activity with all our whole grade. This guy came in. He was, like, bashing on stuff and just calling everyone racist. And he bashed on the Cleveland Indians. And, again, I didn't really care at all. It was, like, whatever. But he was, like, he was just going off on the Cleveland Indians. Had, like, a whole, like, 10-minute segment about how racist they are and how their logo is messed up. But so honestly, and it was just and it wasn't even that really bothered me. It was just a lot of other stuff this guy did. So at the same time, there's this thing in my high school called the business bash, where the business economics class like sells products during the cafeteria for the whole week. And of course, one table was selling sports caps, and right there it was, the Cleveland Indians cap. It was all black, super cool snapback. And I said, my buddy Matt was running the booth. I said, how much? He said, $15. I said, I'll give you 10. And he's like, I got the hat for $10. Really cool snapback. I have it to this day. So I honestly wore it just to piss off like this guy. And I mean, as messed up as that sounds, I'm not promoting racism. I'm not for it. Just this guy was seeing a lot of controversial stuff. And I just wanted the hat to say, hey, buddy, like, check out my Cleveland Indians hat. Super cool, huh? And just like, again, I didn't try to provoke anyone. Obviously, I just bought the hat just to wear it around. And with that, actually, I ended up going on eBay a few months later and buying a Cleveland Indians windbreaker. And I still have that as well. Again, I never really followed up with the Cleveland Indians. And I know that my favorite player, Jason Giambi, ended up being a part of their roster. So that's those are my only ties to the Cleveland Indians at all. I can't consider myself a huge fan. But when it came down to Indians-Cubs, I was definitely going for the Indians based off, you know, hey, Jason Giambi is on the Indians, and that was like one of the last teams he played for. And the fact that I have a Cub, an Indians snapback and windbreaker at home. So those, again, my only ties to the Cleveland Indians. That's the only reasons I care for them to win right now, just because I have the wear. I've got the windbreaker, the hat, and my favorite player of all time, Jason Giambi, was a member of the Cleveland Indians. One during his last, I believe it was back in 2013. I think he wanted to get his 500th home run. I know he's in that top. I think he's top 30 all time home runs. I have to check that out. But again, Giambi, one of my favorite players. He's out there doing his thing, and you know, he's retired now. But again, was a Cleveland Indian briefly. I think he got his I don't know. It was either 500th homer or it was like 2,000th hit, something crazy like that. Some great, cool stat. That was a big deal. Regardless, though, you know, those are the only ties of Cleveland Indians, the hat, the windbreaker, and Giambi. So, again, I'm not going to, if they lose, I'm not going to freak out at all. And if they win, I'm obviously not going to lose my mind at all because I can't. I don't have that emotional tie to a baseball World Series that I would to, like, if, you know, the Clippers made the NBA Finals, I'd lose. That would be a whole other story. I'd be do or die time at that point. But anyway, so that's kind of I want them, quote-unquote, rooting for the Indians, to say the least. But I'm not going to lose my mind either way. So looking at it right now, again, Clippers game just started back on, and I don't even want to talk about that. So to wrap things up here, Ray Allen retiring. For those of you who don't know, Ray Allen, former NBA shooting guard, he's calling his retirement now. Guy hasn't played in a couple years. It's like the whole Allen Iverson thing. Again, Allen Iverson being one of my favorite players. He retired a couple years ago. We hadn't played since 2010. And Ray Allen, I don't think he's played since 2014, 2013. It's been a couple years since he's played in the NBA. And now he's, you know, officially retiring. So now, you know, he's not going to be in rumors about his team signing him at all. You know, he's done. So Ray Allen retiring the same time Kevin Garnett retired. And Ray Allen, I believe he was drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks back in, I don't know, he was part of the 96 draft. Because I know it's when Iverson and Kobe both got drafted. And I think Marbury is part of that, Stephon Marbury. But yeah, Ray Allen was this phenomenal three-point shooter, held countless records, and he was like the after Reggie Miller. Like, hey, like the way Ray, people look at, people say, hey, three-point shooter Stephen Curry is to Ray Allen, that's how Ray Allen was to Reggie Miller. And he would just have this freak of nature three-point shot, and he was just much more than that. Like, he was just this all-around great athlete. And I remember him, you're going to remember him playing with the Sonics alongside, you know, Rashard Lewis. And these guys could just shoot the ball, they could play. Ray Allen would average, you know, 25 plus a game. Just, he was the guy for the Seattle Supersonics. Great player, strong shooting guard. And most people now, you know, newer basketball fans will know him as a member of the Boston Celtics. I mean, hopefully you don't know him as just a member of the Miami Heat, but as a member of the Boston Celtics back in 2008 when they joined the first like modern, you know, big three, so to speak, when Kevin Garnett, who was a career Timberwolf, and Ray Allen, who had spent many years as a Sonic and was, you know, part of the Milwaukee Bucks, both got traded in huge, you know, multiplayer trades to come to the Boston Celtics and play alongside what would be future Hall of Fame small forward Paul Pierce, who himself was an NBA star. And I remember I had that Sports Illustrated magazine in my room back in L.A. when Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen are on the front, and it's just this new Celtics big three. Like, this is taking over the NBA. Like, everyone else be scared because the Celtics are here. And it was just, my dad's a big Celtics fan, and I just remember seeing, like, looking at this. I knew how good Kevin Garnett was. I didn't know as much about Ray Allen at the time, and I knew Paul Pierce. And I just, I liked Kevin Garnett a lot. I knew how great he was. And I was looking at this just thinking to myself, oh, my God, like, the Celtics are going to be the real deal this year. And my Clippers are not going to be again. Because this is back in LA, like, we were still trash. But, yeah, so that's what most people would know, the Celtics. They won the championship in 2007-2008. Of course, you know, it was just a big deal. That's when Rajon Rondo started coming into his own. Doc Rivers, now coach of the Clippers, was coach of the Celtics at the time. And that's where Ray Allen that was a big deal for them. That's where his name became more of, in my opinion, it was more common to hear his name. Then, of course, Ray Allen would then leave. He'd be the first member of the Big Three to leave the Celtics, and he would join the Miami Heat with LeBron James, you know, and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, and that was just itself a big deal. So, I think Rashard Lewis at one point joined the team too. And that Miami Heat team was just phenomenal. And one of the biggest shots you'll ever see, and probably the biggest shot he ever made in his entire life, was in Game 6, I believe, the 2013 NBA Finals. Miami was down 3-2 in the series. They were down by, I believe, 2 or 3 points. LeBron had just shot a three-pointer, barely misses it. Ball's in the air. Bosh power rebounds for it. Kicks it out to Ray Allen in the corner, who just has like minimal time. I'm talking like 2-3 seconds to shoot the ball. Tosses it up, and just it goes in. I remember watching that game live because I wanted Miami to win that series. With my dad, me and my dad watch all of our basketball games together as much as we can, and I was watching that game with him. And that shot, I was through the roof. I was ecstatic, just freaking out about that shot. I was like, oh, because if he missed that shot, game's over, no chance the Miami Heat win, and San Antonio are the NBA champs in 2013. It's just how it is. That's what would have happened. But anyway, Ray Allen hits a shot, force game 7, Miami wins the NBA Finals that year, and it's a big deal. And, you know, Ray Allen, we wish you a very happy retirement. You know, it's definitely first ballot Hall of Famer. He'll be there, and so will Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, and, you know, all the guys, many guys Ray Allen played with will definitely be in the Hall of Fame. So, believe it or not, that's all the time we have tonight. It's past 9 o'clock almost. I mean, I'm well over, not well over, there's no one after me. I'm sure people love hearing my voice. But we are all out of time tonight, and I would love to thank my loyal listeners for tuning in tonight at Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Tune in next week, as I will be on, of course, My Two Cents of Captain Quality every Wednesday from 8 to 9. And, you know, I hope to get more interaction between our Twitter and just link that in with the whole, tie it in with the whole interaction with the show. It's something I want to start doing. No worries, though. So, I mean, for all you loyal listeners out there, at Captain Quality 6, follow on Twitter if you want to give a shout out, or you want to just, you know, say, hey, can you talk about this that just happened, like maybe a breaking news article or something cool. Or for those of you Dominican or Marin local news, anything, I'd love to talk about it and give my 2 cents on it. Before we wrap up, I'd like to give a big shout out to the Dominican women's volleyball team and Dominican men's women's soccer teams, that they're wrapping up their season. And I'm pretty sure all three teams are on track to have their best seasons since becoming an NCAA Division II. Women's soccer, if they win these next two games, it'll be the first time that they've been undefeated at home. It'll be their best record in NCAA, NCAA Division II. Same with men's soccer, not as great of a record as women's soccer, but still, I mean, since I've been around, they've had a much better record than last season. Women's volleyball having one of their best, definitely their best record in the volleyball era. They're actually third in the conference right now, and if they finish out the season on a strong note, they could become second in their conference. And they're definitely playoff bound right now, so big shout out to those sports teams. And right now, men's lacrosse just had a big win against Notre Dame Dinamer, or NDNU University, this past weekend. We won 10-8. Big defensive game, you know, led by yours truly. And it was a team effort, but, you know, me and my defenders, you know, we stepped our game up and had a really great time. Then our offense came and kicked it in, and we won that game. Big victory for us, and that kind of wrapped up our fall season. We've got the alumni game this Sunday. Anyone who's local or on campus, feel free to come by the alumni game Sunday at 1 o'clock. It's going to be fun, you know, past and present, you know, Dominican Penguins all playing against one another. Last year, actually, somehow, we won. The non-alumni, the students, the current Penguins. And we hope to do it again this year. As crazy as it may seem, I don't know how we won that game. We surprised ourselves. It was fourth quarter victory, won by a goal. Very good game, fun game to watch. Encourage everyone to come out there and support your Penguins, whether it's lacrosse, volleyball, or soccer, or any sport. That's all we have for tonight. It's been real, you guys. Thanks for tuning in. This is Captain Quality, and this has been My Two Cents. Have a great night.